Welcome to Grace Point, guys. Whether this is your first time or you've been coming here for a long time, we're so glad that you chose to be in God's house tonight. And as always, I am just honored. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for the honor to share God's word tonight. So tonight I'm going to be talking about friendship with God. But before I jump straight into the word, I thought, like, let's tell a few jokes, you know, get the room excited, get the room laughing and stuff. Okay, so even if you don't think my jokes are funny, do me a favor and give me a little courtesy laughter, okay? Okay, because they're corny jokes, okay? Let me preface with their corny dad jokes. Zach helped me come up with them. Okay, so we're going to get into some jokes about friendship here to start off. So good friends will bail you out of jail. Best friends will be sitting next to you saying, "That was awesome. Let's do it again." Amen, amen. But hopefully not after church, okay? Hopefully not after church. This one was funny. I told my friend she was drawing her eyebrows too high. She looked surprised. So funny, so funny. Kind of rude, but funny. Okay, last joke here. I asked my best friend to help me move. She suddenly remembered that she had a dentist appointment next year. You know, amen. Nobody likes to help their friends move, okay? It's hot. It's not the best, okay? Our backs start hurting. Hire the moving company because nobody wants to help you move, all right? Okay. Yeah. Hey, Leslie will help. Leslie's always there to help. He's always there to say yes. We love that about Leslie. But yes, so as I was praying for tonight's message, this thought kept coming to my head in this song. Have you guys ever heard it? It goes, "I am a friend of God. He calls me friend." You ever heard that one? Yeah? Okay. It's an old school Israel Houghton song. And that song kept coming to my heart. And I was like, man, I never listened to that song. So this must mean something, right? God, you're trying to speak to me. And so I started doing a little bit of research in the Bible about friendship with God. And then I just started going on this deep dive about friendship. So before we jump into the word, I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into God's word. Amen? Okay. God, we thank you so much for your presence. I feel you in this room, God. I thank you that you are with us tonight, Lord. I thank you for the word that you've put on my heart to share with your people tonight, God. And I pray that your presence would just continue to bask over us. I pray that you would anoint this word, God. I pray that it would be your words and not mine. I pray that you would guide tonight, that you would lead tonight, and that you would speak to each and every one of us in whatever seasons we find ourselves in. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, give it up for God. He's so good. So good. Okay, so as I was, you know, reading about friendship and friendship with God, I kept coming across one man. Can anybody name who that one man is? Any guesses? Okay, God, Jesus, yes, also, those are also true. But I read about Abraham. See, what I found interesting as I was studying and preparing tonight's message is that Abraham is the only man in the Bible who is called a friend of God. And I found that fascinating. So from Genesis to Hebrews, we see the story of a man named Abraham who followed God, he obeyed him, and he trusted in him, right? Abraham is remembered in the Bible as a man who had so much faith that when God asked him to sacrifice his promised son Isaac, that Abraham was willing to lay his son on the altar as a sacrifice in obedience to God. Now, how crazy is that? It's crazy. But he trusted God so much that he said, like, if you're going to ask me to do this, God, I know you're going to provide a different sacrifice, or I know you're able to raise people from the dead, so I'm going to trust you and I'm going to do it. And it sounds radical and it sounds crazy, but we see that Abraham was willing to be obedient to God. And what I love the most about the story of Abraham is that while he is an amazing, faithful, you know, incredible man, and I love all of those things, but what I love the most is that we see time and time again throughout the Bible that Abraham was not only a righteous man, but he was a pretty normal man. Amen. And that gives me hope, because if God can use a normal person like Abraham and call him a friend of God, well, then there's a chance for me, right? And so that gives us hope. And we see in Abraham's humanity that he struggled with fear, he struggled with doubt, he struggled with waiting on God. I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but God promised a son to Abraham. And Abraham got impatient. He was old. I think he was 100 years old whenever he had Isaac, okay? And he waited and he waited. But in that waiting, he took matters into his own hands. And he got his servant Hagar pregnant so that he could have a son, which was not Isaac, by the way. But that's a whole different sermon about not waiting on God and his timing and his promise and his blessing. And so we see that Abraham makes these mistakes along the way. Has anybody ever made a mistake or gotten ahead of God? I mean, yeah, we got tired in the waiting. I know I have. And so I find hope and a great sense of relief in knowing that perfection isn't a requirement for friendship with God. Can everybody say amen to that? You do not have to be perfect to be called a friend of God. Friendship with God means having faith in him. And our faith leads us to trust in him, and then our trust leads us to obedience to him. In James 2, it says, "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see, Abraham was called a friend of God because he didn't just say he believed in God, but he proved it through his obedience to God. He didn't just give God lip service, right? He wasn't just like, "Oh God, I trust you, I worship you, I believe in you." He showed God. He proved it to him through his faithfulness and through his obedience to him. And a lot of people, they're really good at saying, "Oh, like, I trust God, I love God, I love you, Lord." But then when push comes to shove and God asks you to give up that relationship or to give up that habit or to give up that unforgiveness or whatever it may be, you're like, "No, God, I think I'm going to hold on to it a little bit longer," right? We're really good at holding on to things that God's asking us to let go of. And so we see here that Abraham was willing to obey. And then in John 15, Jesus is talking with his disciples about this same thing. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." See, as friends of God, we get access to divine revelation and insight to what God is doing. And you might say, "Well, what does that even mean, Savannah?" Well, I'm glad you asked. God isn't just sitting up there in heaven with his arms crossed, all frustrated at you, you know, like some dictator who's just disappointed in you, wagging his finger at you. No, that is not the God we serve. He sees you, whatever season of life you may find yourself in tonight, as a friend, as a companion, as somebody that he wants to be close with. And we should wear that term, friend of God, as like a badge of honor. We should wear that with pride. Like, have you ever met someone who is related to a celebrity or who knew someone famous, and any chance they get, it comes up in conversation? They're like, "Oh yeah, that's my friend. Oh yeah, we text all the time." Like, they like to name drop. Like, imagine if you were friends with somebody like Brad Pitt, okay? Everybody knows who Brad Pitt is, right? He's a famous celebrity. And no big deal, just texting my buddy Brad. He just checked on the kids again, you know, like, wouldn't we make sure that everyone knew that our best friend was Brad Pitt if he were our best friend? Yeah, amen. And so in the same way, we should be wearing that we are friends of God as a badge of honor, but instead I think we find ourselves kind of embarrassed or shying away a little bit, like, ooh, if they know that I'm a friend of God, they might think I'm weird, or they won't invite me to the cool stuff anymore, or I'll be excluded, or I'll be labeled the weird Christian. But really, we should be excited to be known as friends of God, and we should be willing to share that with other people. And the more time you spend with him, the more he begins to reveal his heart towards you. When we spend time with God, he lets us in on what he's doing in us and through us, right? Just like a friend would. A friend always keeps us in the know on what's going on. That leads me to my next point, which is that friendship is birthed out of intimacy. And you can see that I put into me, you see, because that is what intimacy is. Intimacy is letting people in on a deep part of ourselves that we hide. And God is not interested in who we pretend to be, guys. If you don't hear anything else, hear that tonight. God is not interested in who you're pretending to be towards him, because he already knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what's in your heart of hearts. He knows. He knows that a thought is going to cross your mind before it even crosses your mind. He's not interested in who you're pretending to be. He wants to know you. I mean, really, really know you. Like, have you ever talked with a friend, and when you ask them how they're doing, they say, oh, I'm fine, I'm good. But you spend so much time with them that you know, I don't know, something's a little off. I can just sense it. Like, are you sure you're good? And then you slowly start seeing their walls coming down. Maybe their tears well up in their eyes, and they're like, well, now that you asked, like, actually, I'm having a really hard time. You know, like, I'm feeling pretty discouraged. God hasn't came through in that prayer. He hasn't brought the healing. My family's still going crazy. You know, I'm just feeling pretty down. And the relief that we can see fall to the wayside whenever we're able to just share what's actually going on. God wants to be that for us. He wants to be that friend and that confidant whenever we need someone to talk to. So stop trying to impress God with your fancy prayers. Holy art thou, King Jesus. Yes, all of those things are true. Amen. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a strong, good prayer life. But stop trying to impress him. He sees right through you. In Psalm 139, it says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. He knows you, guys. He knows you. Stop trying to hide from him. You can't. You can run, but you can't hide. There's been so many moments in my life where I was feeling hurt and disappointed, even in God. Am I allowed to say that? Okay. There's been times where I've been so frustrated, like, God, you said you were going to come through, and it hasn't happened. I'm so frustrated. And I did that whole, like, it's fine, God. Like, I trust you, you know, faking it till I make it. And then I just felt this sense of, like, hey, Savannah, how are you really doing? And when I finally was honest with God, like, you know what, God, I'm mad. I'm disappointed. Why did you let that happen? Why'd you let that happen that way? Why'd you let them hurt me like that? Why'd you lead me to that place just so they could hurt me? Why'd you let that happen to me, God? And I felt this still small voice just hover over me. And I just heard, now I can work with you. Now I can do what I've been wanting to do in your heart. Now I can move the way that I want to move because you're being honest with me. See, friendship with God is not about religion. It's not about religion, guys. It's not about your routine. It's about a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. He's not a checklist like, oh, I read my Bible for 5 minutes. I did the thing. I did the good deed. I went to Servolution. Check, check, check. I'm a good Christian. No, Don't let religion stop you from being intimate with him. Let him see into your heart. Let him in because he wants something more for you. And let me talk to the parents in the room for a second. I know this is a family service, so we got kiddos of all ages. Praise the Lord. But parents, I cannot stress this enough. You get to model what it looks like to have friendship with Jesus for your children. You get to model what that friendship looks like. I have a 4-year-old daughter. Most of you always see her running through the hallways asking for candy or being crazy or, you know, whatever she does. And there's so many days, guys, as a mom where I'm like, I lost my temper again. I'm a bad mom. I'm a failure of a mom. But then there's those sweet moments where I'm like, okay, God, I'm doing something right. And a few weeks ago, Adelina's best friend, Lily, got sick. And Bethany was texting me and saying, like, oh, Lily's got a little fever. And I was like, oh, I hope she gets better. And I told Adelina, like, hey, baby, Lily's not feeling too good, so you're not going to get to play with her this week. Like, she's got a fever. And she was like, oh, no, Mommy, that is not good. Like, she was so concerned, right? And then I didn't think much of it. I put her to bed. And then as I was walking through the hallway, I hear her whispering, and she's talking. And I'm like, who is she talking to? That's so weird. So I look on her monitor on my phone from the camera, and then I hear her talking to Jesus. She's like, hey, Jesus. Jesus, my friend Lily, she's got a fever. Can you please touch her? Because I really want to play with her, and I just want you to heal her, Lord. And I got tears in my eyes because I was like, I know I don't have it perfect, God. But if I'm not doing anything else right, she knows she can go to you because Zach and I have modeled that for her. Amen. That makes me emotional because most days are really hard, but those moments where I get to see the fruit of our labor, because raising kids is really hard work. Amen. But she watches us. She watches everything we say. She watches us when we pray. And you know, she knew to talk to Jesus because every morning her daddy wakes up and he says, Adelina, say thank you, Jesus, for today. And she'll go, thank you, Jesus, for today. And then before he walks out that door, this man grabs all of our hands, Matthew's included, even though he's only one, and he says, we're going to say our prayers today as a family. And he'll bless us, and he'll pray over each of us. He'll bless our day. And men, that is your role in your home. That is your role in your home, is to be the leader of your household, to lead your family to be closer to Christ. And thank God for my husband who makes sure that even on days, look, guys, there's days I don't feel like praying, okay? Don't cast a stone at me. I'm human. But thank God for a husband who, even when I don't feel like it, makes sure that I'm being prayed for, that I'm praying to God. So parents, just know your babies are watching you. You get to show them how to have friendship with Jesus. And in the same way that we are called friends of God, we are called to have friendship with one another. And Jesus is the greatest teacher on how to be a friend worth having. And some of the attributes of having a godly friend are found in Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. See, a friend is someone who is consistent. They show up in the good times and in the bad times, not just the convenient times, but they show up for you when you need them the most. And then in Proverbs 27:6, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See, a friend is willing to speak the truth in love to you with the intent of helping you look more like Christ. We got to have people in our lives that are willing to tell us about ourselves, even when it doesn't feel good. I'd rather have a friend tell me like it is than to have an enemy that makes me feel really good about myself. We need that in our lives. And thank God for the sisters in my life who are willing to call me out on my junk. You know, Andrea's not here tonight because she's sick, but But there was one time in the hallway, and she's a close friend. She's somebody I have a relationship with. We do Bible studies together. We cry together. We laugh together. And so she has this place in my life. And one day we were standing out in the hallway, and I was distracted because I'm usually always in La La Land. And she pulled me aside, and she said, "Hey, you didn't say hi to that person or make eye contact with them. That wasn't very nice." And I was like, okay. You know, I didn't really like it in the moment, but then I pulled her aside like 5 minutes later, and I said, "Thank you for being the kind of friend who can call me out. Thank you for being the kind of friend that can call me higher, because you see a blind spot, and I know that your intent is just to make me more like Jesus." We all need people like that in our lives. If you just hang out with people that are always making you feel good about yourself, I think you need to find some new friends, all right? Ecclesiastes says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up." See, a friend is there to pick you up when you're down, guys. We need to have each other's backs. In Proverbs 18, it says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." In other words, you have to be a friend to have a friend, guys. I'm going to stick on this one for a little bit. See, I think some of us like to walk around feeling really isolated, like, "Oh, I'm all alone. Oh, nobody ever checks up on me." Oh, you know, you're all disgruntled about it. You feel rejected a little bit. You feel offended. But my question to you is, when's the last time you invited somebody to coffee? When's the last time you checked in on somebody? When's the last time you were a friend to someone? See, we can't expect everyone to be our friend when we're not willing to be a friend to others. And I mean, just to put it simply, like, are you even nice to people? Like, when somebody's like, "Hey, how are you doing?" Are you like, "Fine." Are you making eye contact with people? Are you being friendly with people? Because you can't expect to have a friend if you're not willing to just be a decent human. Like, we have to be kind to one another, guys. We have to reflect Christ. We have to reflect what it looks like to be a good friend. And one practical way that we can get connected is by joining a connect group, okay? This is my shameless plug for connect groups, because I'm really, really passionate about community in the church, and not just on Sunday and Wednesday, because hear me out, Sundays and Wednesdays are really, really important, okay? I'm not saying it's not, so don't take this message and be like, "Well, I don't have to come anymore, Savannah said it's not important." No, it's not what I said. It's very important for us to gather together to worship the Lord and to hear a message. But we also need to have people in our corner, and we need to be willing to get a little bit uncomfortable and let people into our space, all right? We got to stop with the, "Oh, I'm only talking to this one person," or "I'm introverted, so I don't need all that." That's not what the Bible says. I don't even think the Bible uses the word introverted, by the way. I think that's something we made up to, like, justify being quiet and not talking to people, which, again, is not biblical. Like, yeah, we all have our personalities and all of that, but we're called to be in communion with one another. And so connect groups are starting. Sign-ups are going to be starting on August 17th, so put that on your calendars, okay? Join a connect group. We have groups for women, for men, for married couples, for young adults. Where are my young adults at? Woo, woo! Yes! I'm excited about that one because Zach and I get to lead that together. But we have a group for everyone. So everybody make sure to get signed up for one so that you can go deeper in your relationships with other believers. Stop hiding out in the corner. Stop leaving early. Stop getting here late. Guys, we're a family. Let's get in each other's business, okay? Like, let's be there for one another. Let's show up with the coffee. Let's pray together. Let's be vulnerable with one another. I know that's scary, but we're called to do that. In Acts, it says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, when we have connection with one another, we set an example for the world of what it looks like to not only be a friend with Christ, but to be friends to each other. And I love that that scripture says that they met together with joyful hearts, and then the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When we enjoy community and fellowship with other believers, we make others attracted to Jesus, guys. Who wants to see your friends and your family get saved? Amen. Who wants to see your neighborhood get saved? Dare I say, who wants to see the city of Irving get saved? Amen. And you know how that's going to happen? Us setting the example of godly friendship. All right, so stop fighting with each other on Facebook. Okay, I see y'all. I see y'all fighting all the time on Facebook. Stop pushing people away. Stop being mean. Act like you love Jesus and like you know him. Act like he's done something good in your heart and in your life. That should make you excited. Why are some Christians walking around so miserable? Guys, we have freedom. We have authority. We've been given a life that's worth living in Christ. So why are we so miserable? We get to be an example to others. And the way, according to the Bible, that they will come and that they will be saved is by the example that we set for them. In James 4, it says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." See, tonight, God is asking for an all-in friendship with you. He's asking you to go all in with him, guys. It's time to let go of the things that are holding you back from having friendship with God and friendship with others. It's time for you to let that all go tonight. And no matter what season of life you may find yourself in, no matter how young you are, how old you are, what ethnicity you are, what your background is, how long you've been a Christian, whether you've never even given your life to Christ, he brought me here tonight to tell you this one thing. And it's that God desires friendship with you. He desires friendship with you because he wants to see you living out who he's called you to be. He doesn't want you walking around in bondage anymore. He doesn't want you walking around offended anymore. He wants you to be free, free in him. And he wants you to be a light to others so that others can come to know his love and his mercy. Can I get the worship band to come up here, please? You know, tonight as I was praying about how I would close this out, I just really feel like there's two groups of people in here tonight. The first group of people, you're somebody that's been really hesitant about going all in with God. Like maybe you've heard of him, maybe you've even been here several times, but you're still just not there yet. Maybe you have your doubts, that's okay. Nobody's judging you for that. But he just wants you to go all in. He wants friendship with you. He wants intimacy with you. He wants to be close to you. Can I have everybody stand, please? And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around tonight. If that's you and you say, you know what, Savannah, I need a friendship with God. I've never had a friendship with God, or I have, and I just kind of abandoned it. But I want to go all in again tonight. If you could just be so brave as to raise your hand. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. And we're all going to pray this prayer together. But I just want you to know that God wants to be your friend tonight. So if you can repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again. I ask you to forgive my sins and come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you to begin a friendship with me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.